Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Whiplash Talk. This is Sunshine. It's a beautiful, blustery, cold winter day where I'm at. I am coming to you a little bit remote. I am watching the windsurfers on the ocean surf the white caps, and it's beautiful. Rob, are you here?
I am here. I was actually wondering what happened because I couldn't hear the intro music. So I was like, guys, I can't hear the music. I wasn't sure if we got cut off.
I heard it, so it was good. Well,
Okay.
glad you're here. I'm sorry for the curveball. We had some power outages here on the island, and the internet, I'm on a satellite router, and the satellite router I can't get to reset it. So I'm sitting outside in a cold car, but it's beautiful, and I'm watching the ocean, so it's all good.
Perfect, perfect.
How are
So,
you doing?
power outages. Oh, geez.
But it's all good. It's all good. I've got power back now, but got a little cold there for a while. 2.5 days without power and no other source of heat. So it's a little chilly.
Give you a real opportunity to go within.
Yeah, exactly.
When you
Exactly.
can't
My
when.
two my go ahead.
Yeah, when the external world feels cut off like that, you have no choice, right?
It's true. It's very true. I worked during the day, but when I'd come home at night, it was like, okay, it's really quiet and it's really cold. And my two fur people were like heat seeking missiles at night. They're like, body heat. So it was really cute. So
That's
we all just snuggled up. Yeah, it was fun. So
awesome.
how's your week been? Yeah.
Yeah, my week's been really good. I'm just settling into, different getting just being present moment for the holidays, it's like just trying to be this
Yeah.
year's like so much different for me. I feel less anxiety this year than I have probably in my entire life around the holidays because I'm not big on them, but I do, my family is and things like that. So
Right,
but
right.
I feel very peaceful this year. So that's kind of strange.
That's really good. I too am, my family's always been, it was my favorite holiday actually. And, I don't know if you've ever read the book or know about the book, The Five Love Languages. And it's like acts of service and, physical touch. And one of them is gifts. And it's not like getting gifts. It's more like picking out the perfect gift for the person. And that's me. I just love finding the perfect gift for the person. So this was my kind of holiday, right? But
Yeah.
now I'm like you. It's like I'm really not into that. But it caught me off guard in the quiet and in the dark. How much I miss my mom and Phil.
Yeah, it's that's the thing I think about this holiday specifically, is that it's very hard to stay grounded in the present moment, right? Because there's just so much nostalgia. I was doing an episode of my show. And I was talking about how last year, I think, was the first year where I didn't. We decorated a little, but we waited till the 24th and did it on the 24th, like the evening of. And I didn't go through my big, like, I have a, like when you're a kid, your parents get you all these different, like, we got a new ornament every year,
Yep.
And that tradition
Yep.
continued up until, I think, even last year. But last year was the first year I didn't take out that specific ornament box. And it's just like, not like, trip down memory lanes and nostalgia is
Yep.
good every once in a while. But like last year, I was just like, I'm not doing it this year. I'll put up some other decorations. I just don't want to go through that box for whatever the reason it was,
Yep. Yeah. When I left Oklahoma, I told all of you guys that I left so much behind, and some of it was like, poof, you never thought you'd leave it behind. And all of my Christmas decorations I left behind because I'm like, nope, that's not now. That's not now. So yeah, I totally get what you're talking about. So that one caught me off guard, but, it was a good time, to be able to just kind of reflect and, count your blessings and just kind of press in and, doing my commands and focusing on, you're still safe, you're still warm, it's not 10 degrees in your house, you're fine, but it was an interesting 2.5 days. It was interesting, but it's still in the beautiful place where I believe I'm supposed to hold space. So sorry, go ahead.
No, I just it's strange when that happens because I've been before without power for an entire week in the middle of the winter, and you figure it out, you know?
You do. You do.
You figure it out,
Yeah,
and
when I was in, go ahead.
well, we just when it was when I was younger, and so there was a couple of us and that stayed at my place, and it was like, well, we don't have heat, but so we all like we made like a big bed in the living room floor, and we all like just brought blankets and mattresses onto the living room floor and candles, and just you know we it was actually quite fun because we just stayed up all night talking and laughing like when we were kids, you know, because there was nothing else to do.
Right? Yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. You know, you got to create your memories. You got to create your now. So that's cool.
Exactly.
That was a
And
really, that's a really cool
so when you're
example.
forced, yeah, when you're forced into doing it without, you know, modern conveniences, it's kind of it's in a way it's a neat experiment to do, even though it might not be the most favorable conditions. If you can enable yourself to do it proactively, like, hey, I'm going to rent a cabin in the woods without power, that's maybe the way you want to do it, rather than, oh, we had a storm, and then because there's kind of like fear and weird energies behind that whole thing. Because I know that when it's due to you know, weather, there's a lot of like psychic mental energy pools and stuff like that, that, you know, fear and people worry and all that stuff. So that's not the most maybe favorable of conditions to kind of do that experiment under, but it's really cool to disconnect like that.
It is. That's one of the things that I really like about being here is it kind of helps me disconnect from, you know, the job I had was very, very high stress, very, very pressure packed. And I have not left the island since I got here. And I
That's
don't want to go
amazing.
deal with the traffic. I don't want to go deal with that. Yeah, I just don't. And so I just make do with what I can do here, and I love that. But yeah, I too felt the fear, and I'm like, oh, that. When I left Oklahoma, I had things that if something happened, I had a house where I could have extra food if I needed it, and you know, stuff that didn't need to be cooked that you could just open the can. May not taste as great cold, but you can still eat it. It's still food, you know, that kind of thing.
Like spam.
And I gave all that away. Like, oh, I can't do spam. I can't do it.
I
I
don't think
lived in
anybody can.
Alaska,
What?
and they love it up there.
Oh, what is that? To me, that's like animal food. That's cat food or dog food and a spare thing. I think I've had it like once or twice, and I was like, oh, I can't deal with that. It's spam.
Vile. Sorry. There goes my spam commercial sponsorship. But anyway, it's
Yeah,
vile.
that's
It's
why they
horrible.
call email spam, because it's crap.
So yeah. So it was. I didn't have anything, and so I did have to go to the grocery store. And I don't have any really. I have one cabinet where I can put food, and so I bought some canned stuff and some packaged stuff, and You know, now I have it if I need it, and I've been trying to just eat a lot more veggie and a lot more. My body's just really changing. It doesn't really want that much meat anymore.
Oh,
And
I
so
hear
I'm
you
just
on
trying to
that.
give it what it wants. Yeah, it's weird. I grew up in a family. We were in the feedlot industry. So
Oh,
like
geez.
beef, you know, it's what's for dinner, you know?
It's what's cooking.
It's what's cooking. Yeah. And, so I'm like, I'm just not really feeling that anymore. And so I'm a really good cook, but I'm trying to train myself to cook more hearty vegetable dishes opposed to side dishes. So it's a process, but I'm trying to give my body what it wants. But then and back up, you know, if you're in a jam and you really are hungry, you know, a can of beans will do, and they don't have to be cooked. So
I last year I well I guess
good.
this year the past 2 years actually more so I really experimented with fasting a lot, and so and I kind of fell off the wagon on it a little bit because it's like I don't want to starve myself, but I did. I think the longest I went was I did a 5 day fast. Yeah, which was
Bill was the
interesting.
master faster.
Who?
Yeah, go ahead. Bill, my partner.
Oh
He was
no,
the
yeah,
master.
it's
He could fast for 40 days. I'm like, my God.
really.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Could do it. I'm like, eh. Yeah, no.
I don't know.
I'm not really good at that.
A lot of it's psychological, but like the first 2 days are the hardest, I find, because the first day, like, you're stuck on just patterns and habits, right? Like you'll find yourself standing in the
Your
fridge and you're like,
body's
oh, I'm fasting. Like, what am I doing here? And the first day is really the most difficult because I think your body's just so used to eating every day. It's like, I want food, I want food. But if you can get through the first 2 days, like I think I'd only done a 2 day fast, and then I went up to three and then four, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna try five. And every time it's like, yeah, the first day or two are really difficult. You know, if you could make it through this, like the dinner at the second date, you're aces, because then your body's like, okay, it goes into like ketosis or whatever, all the, you know, it kind of understands it. I think it goes back to a primal thing where it's like, okay, we're not going to be eating. We should go into like a different state. But it's the mental clarity is amazing when you're not always processing and digesting food, because it takes a massive amount of energy to actually digest a full meal. So it's kind of like a catch 22, right?
It is. And, you know, and just to be able to be in the now and have clear, a clear vision is good. But
Yeah, I can't eat, like
yeah,
you said, I
ketosis.
can't eat the same way anymore. Like I don't even think I've eaten meat this year. I might have had maybe a slice of pepperoni pizza once, but I don't really eat pasta as much anymore. I'll steam cauliflower and dice that up and make like almost like a macaroni. I'll use that as a pasta. Like if you steam it, it's kind of got the same consistency as baked macaroni. And so I'll use that as pasta and then put types of sauces, because I had really like even decent like gourmet pasta the other day, and crazy carb coma after, and I was like, I don't want to, even if I have like two slices of bread or something. It's like, wow, I used to like eat sandwiches for, you know, have toast with breakfast and then a sandwich or something, and it's like, how did we survive like the old food pyramid or food guide? I don't know what in the US, but in Canada, like from the 80s, like that thing was trying to kill us all.
Are trying to kill us all. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're like taking us away from everything. And then, well, I mean, if we really want to go, they're putting things in our food that they want us to eat. So they're making it readily available. And it's like, my goodness. So yeah,
Yeah.
I'm kind of a weird segue, but I just ordered a book on hunting and gathering of, natural things that you can find everywhere, where you hike and that kind of thing, and how to dry
Awesome.
them, how to make tinctures, how to do whatever. And I'm like,
That's
yeah, because
really great. I In the summer where I live, I'm fortunate enough, I've got grapevines, blackberries, wild strawberries, raspberries, pear trees, and apple trees all along the, like, so it's really beautiful here actually, because where I live is very,
beautiful.
for Canada, it's almost the most southern part of Canada, but most people don't realize that, like, I'm probably further south than a good like a third to a quarter of the US down where I am in Ontario, because Ontario goes quite down the grape. Yeah, so people don't realize that, like, we have a really beautiful summer here. And actually, there's only two places I think in Canada, here and the Okanagan Valley, where the climate is very nice enough to grow peaches, so the peach trees. And I guess it has to do with kind of where we are, is at the intersection of three Great Lakes. So there's a lot of good energies in the Great Lakes, you know. And so where it is, like that specific intersection, for some reason, right where I live, it's like it gets really humid here sometimes. So it can easily be, well, I'll have to convert it for the Americans out there, but it can easily be over 100 degrees, 110 degrees here in the summer.
100 degrees Celsius. I'll tell everybody
Yeah,
Celsius.
no,
Is that right?
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
100
Okay, I
degrees
was gonna say
Celsius, we'd
Celsius.
be boiling to
That would
death.
be like, that'd be nuclear. We'd be
Yeah,
gone.
no, we wouldn't survive 100 degrees Celsius, I don't think.
No, I was gonna say, that is like crazy heat.
That's
Like
the
melt
boiling
your face
point of
heat.
water, so I think we'd all be soup. So what are we talking about today? That was just our introduction. Boy, have we got a show lined up.
Intro.
Yeah.
Now, right? Well, I wanted to focus more on telling your story, picking up where we are, because that's really why you're on Whiplash, is just to get your story out there, and let's point everybody to your YouTube channel so you can launch and keep going. So, and the only thing I have is I just want to end the show, so I'll probably need about 10 minutes at the very end. But yeah, what's on your heart? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to share today?
Well, that's the thing, and I really appreciate you having me on to tell my story. And it's interesting, because the more as I tell it, it's helping me, you know, like I don't like thinking about my past. And so it's like, because it puts you on all those timelines. And so, like, well, I feel like a lot, I can't speak for other people, but it's like I mind loop this stuff all the time in my life. So it's like by me putting it out there and the experiences I've had and hoping that it can help other people, then it stops me
Yeah.
from going through it in my mind over and over again, because it's like, okay, I let it go. I put it out, it's like
That's
telling a
really
friend or something,
good.
but I'm putting it out there. And really, it's not about me and my story. It's about how it relates to other people. Because there's a million people's stories out there, and a lot of them are mind-based, like, oh, about rags to riches and all that stuff. And that's not really what it's about. It's actually about, it's doing the opposite. It's backpedaling out of here, becoming as children. And so that's what my story is. That's the only reason I want to tell it, is because it's just an average person who went through a lot of traumas, addictions, chaos in my younger years. And how do you get from there to here to being, like, and I really wanted to relate it to pointing people into doing the commands, discovering the divinity within themselves, pointing them to the CLS website, and that's the pathway. Like, how I started telling about, okay, the church and leaving the church and everything, but really discovering divinity and light within myself. Like, how does that make sense to somebody out there that, some people, your listeners, might get it, but there's other people that are going to kind of come after us, that are going to feel lost, because it's a weird journey. Like, especially even after you start getting more of your light, you think it's going to be all like puppy dogs and rainbows, and it was actually quite the opposite for me. I was like, wow, this is going to be amazing. Like, the future's going to be so awesome. But you don't realize that that's kind of the turning point where the dark really starts coming at you. And so I wasn't aware of that. I didn't figure that out for probably a year and a half after I had my experience that I shared with you about seeing the light. And so I didn't have anybody to talk to. Nobody was making sense about anything. I was searching, I was going on shows, I was joining groups, and nobody could explain what I had experienced probably as well as Ron.
That's really good.
Yeah. And so
I believe
it was,
I go ahead.
I was just, it was like really dark time. What I thought was going to be the brightest moment of my life, I thought, man, we're so much more than we've been told. And I thought everything was going to be amazing. And I was like, had this newfound zest, but not everybody shared that. And I didn't know, I kind of was understanding timelines, but I thought I was crazy. I was like, that can't possibly be. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, I could feel it intuitively. And I started seeing different scenarios play out, different timelines, jumping timelines, people being different, looking different. And I was like, something's really wonky here. And then, so yeah, like I said, I thought it was going to be amazing, but actually it's kind of the opposite for a while, until you start really learning this stuff. And it's not easy. It's not easy to come to terms with the CLS teachings, because it's really out there. It's very, to the average mind, which mine used to be, it seems like, even myself, I go through times where I was like, this seems bananas.
And I agree with that. And you hit a really good point, because most of my listeners do have followed our friend Q and are very in tune with the CLS Creation Lightship website, creationlightship.com. And but I've always said, whenever we would talk about Living Libraries on Being Inspired with Q, we would talk about that, and I would ask, are these radio programs, are these tracks we're laying down, are these part, aren't these a part of the Living Libraries? And it was absolutely they are, because no matter how far we go on, as you notice, we can go back and listen to all of those radio programs now, and I still get more every time I listen to them. It's like, even when I was on this show, in fact, when you do a live show, you miss a lot because you're listening, but you're also preparing for your next question, or you're listening to see if I need to ask a clarifying question. You're not just sitting there open, this open source energy, just sponging it in. And so that's another tool that I would encourage people to listen to, and then we'll go back to you. Pull those Being Inspired with Q shows, pull those timeline shows, and just run them, because you've got the energetics there, but you've also got that wisdom there. And all of us that I've talked to say that we get more every time we listen to them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would take, so I actually probably went and listened to a lot more Lightship shows before I got into those shows, because that was just the path that I found. Like I heard a Q show, and then he mentioned Ron Amatron, and I was like, I jumped on Ron
Right.
Amatron's because he had videos, and I was tired of radio stuff at that point. And then I was like, man, I think I watched all his YouTube videos like consecutively for like 2 weeks straight. And so I was like, and then
Nice.
I found the archives, and I was like, wow, like so I went through probably a lot of Ron's material first, right? And then,
Nice.
but so going back through either of those is really, really good. And like I can't speak highly enough about the CLS archives because they do have live clearings in them. And like there's nothing like I can't like I'll give you an example. This is how I knew when I that there was something to it, because even your mind doesn't want to accept it. Like I was listening probably from like literally my heart understood this stuff because I was like, I've experienced this stuff. But your mind's like, man, this guy's bananas. Like this guy's batshit crazy. But there's something about what he's saying because he's so genuine, he's so heart-based. I've never heard him get upset. I never heard him deviate from his story, from his mission, from what he like. Every show was the same. It was just about going within. Like, and I listened to one
Helping people.
recently. Yeah, and I listened to one recently, and like just genuine sincerity of that man was outstanding. And it's like somebody asked me, do you believe who he said he was, who he says he was? Does that make sense? Did I say that right? Do you believe
Yeah,
who
you did.
he
You
was,
did.
who he said he was? And I said, yes, I do. But what's more important is that he believes he was who he says he was. And that's all that matters, is that we believe who we are. It doesn't matter if Timmy from down the street believes you. Like, it doesn't matter if your mom or dad believe, your brothers, sisters, cousins, your teachers, even your dog, as long as you believe and know who you are. And it takes a lot of time to know who you are.
And no, that's really good. And you're always constantly peeling back layers and learning more. So it's not, for most, it's not an instant poof, you know everything. But
Oh
as
no,
long as
definitely
you know
not.
who you are, yeah, I always say as long as you know who you are and whose you are, meaning, you're source. And that's a mindfuck. Oh, I use my F word. That it's a total, and like you said, there's not a lot of people you can talk to except for those that, we know across the world that, it's not like you can go and have dinner. I can't go and have dinner with you and sit around and have this deep conversation because we're on opposite ends of, the continent. So, it's really a good point that you bring up that those tools are there to help, and they've helped you and everybody else I've talked to. Creation Lightship and running the reruns, even the reruns on BBS. They have the, Ron's reruns on BBS too.
Yeah,
And
he was doing 4 shows a week for like 10 years. That's a lot.
crazy.
Yeah, actually more than 10 years, from 2005 or 2006 I think to 2018. So, like an amazing resource. And so I forgot to mention about how I knew that they were working was he did samples for
Go ahead.
fingernail biting, and he said that they would be probably entities. And I stopped biting my fingernails that day after like 30. I was 39 or 40 at the time, and I stopped biting my fingernails that day, and I haven't ever since. Well, I mean, I might if I'm a little bit nervous. I might pick one finger or something if I'm in a really sticky situation. I notice that's my trigger. And then also another one, he did a removal, and I was like, this is weird. But I had a neck injury when I was younger, and but he did a removal for a past life being hung. And I was like, this sounds so weird. And then that night I was at a party, and a friend's 50th birthday party, and I was at a bar, and I turned my neck, and it cracked and like released in a way that I'd never experienced. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, that healing must have worked. Like, and I was like, okay, there's something to this,
That
man. There's something to
there is
this.
something to it.
And
Yes. Yes.
your mind won't give you the answers. Like, your mind can never free you from your mind. So that's why when you try to look at it from logical perspective, 3D perspective, you're never going to get the answers.
Very, very true. I love that. So how are you applying that to your everyday life now? What is the life in the day of Rob?
Oh, well, so it's getting up way too early because I need less sleep now most days. So I'm learning to like not literally not like be in the like live in the now, right? So some nights I'm getting up at like 2:30, 3:30, and it's like, wow, I'm wide awake. So I'll get up even if I have to take a nap throughout the day. But it still takes me like some days it takes me like an hour to get out of bed because I'll wake up and I'm on timelines, like I had dreams, and then I'm still fighting the old, right? Like, so I'm like, why did I have that dream? Like, I feel groggy, I just want to go back to sleep, but I should probably get up. And then I'm lucid dreaming, and it's so some days it takes me like an hour to get out of bed. So, but I'm getting up early, and I don't know if I've spoke about this, but I'm trying to live every day like it's my last. And so, not in this like I'm going skydiving, but just taking everything slow, like hugging my pillow and just being so grateful for my warm bed, getting up slowly, doing some deep breathing, making coffee in a graceful manner, in a sacred manner, having a shower and being present. Even today, I was like, I realized how much I rush and I hold my breath when I brush my teeth. And it's like I was doing brushing my teeth, feeling in a rush, and I was like, I've done that my whole life. And I took a deep breath while brushing, and I'm like, now it's not brushing my teeth because for some reason that it's to me it's like a task. So now it's like a tooth massage. I'm like, I'm here and I'm using this self-care, this little part of your day. And I started brushing my teeth with my left hand because it forces me to go a little bit slower and be intentional, because that is something I rushed through so quickly my whole life. You know, just I gotta brush my teeth and get out of here, you know.
That's really good. And it's neat how you're making adjustments and changes to trigger that slowdown. Because sometimes you'll get in a hurry and you're like, okay, you just do it the way you know how to do it. But you're making yourself slow down by doing your left hand or whatever. And those are tips and tricks for everybody, not tricks, tips for everybody to learn, because this is a process. We're still in a physical suit. And so we still have to deal with that physical component. And yes, we are source, but there's a world out there that we live in. And what you're pointing out is absolutely perfect. Sometimes it does take an hour to kind of get your, I would say, get my poop in a scoop, you know. It takes an hour to kind of to get things going, you know, and some days I'll wake up and I feel so not literally, but so holy. It's like I get up and I'm doing my commands and I'm doing really great, and I've been having some animal opportunities that I have to clean up here every once in a while, and it's like, you know what? It's not going to bother me, and the animal is it knows, you know. It's like, I'm sorry, and it's like, you're good. You're just fine. You're absolutely fine. And, you know, reassuring them that it's all good, and you know, I take my time and get things cleaned up, and we're good to go. So I'm kind of like you. I'm taking it as it comes, and staying in the now as best I can. Am I perfect? No, I am not perfect, but I'm doing my best to take it
And that's the thing, and
and
that's all
keep
you
it in
can
the
do.
now.
You have if you're gonna have a belief system, believe that you've always been doing the best that you could at, no matter what. Even and I've gone through some horrible things in my life, like that I don't, you know, maybe at some point we'll go through them. It's not really about that, but it's about not going back to it. Like I heard one guy say on a show, like when you go back and revisit those things, it's like losing twice. Like why go back? And I know I beat myself up for years thinking that like I could go back to this, you know, why did I do that? Like I should have done that, or shouldn't have done that, this and that. And it's like you're just mind looping, like, and it seems almost selfish, or you feel guilty that you should just drop it and let it go, but you're only hurting yourself and maybe others because our thoughts are so powerful. We don't even know that about cords. But it's like I try, like hey, we've talked about before, you know, like growing up, you got to pray for others, you got to think about others, family first. I wasn't taught to put myself first. I was taught to put my, you know, family is the most important thing. Family and friends are all that matters. Well, what about your spirit? You know, I sacrificed so much of my life. This like martyring for being other, like, you know, I thought it was like being there for friends and family. It was going out and getting drunk with the boys. And you just realize you're just stewing in negativity most of the time, you know, or just spiritually bypassing problems instead of facing them with presence, you know.
Right. That's really good. That is really good. I know, when I was raised by a single mom, and she was amazing, and I always knew I had love. I always knew I was loved. I never knew we were so poor. I didn't know, because I always had love. And so But you are raised to, family is important. Family is, it. And, you have friends and they're important too. But we were not raised, even in the church, even though in the Bible it did say that, that we are spirit,
Yeah.
that, we have a spirit and we live in an earth suit. We're trained and we're groomed actually to nurture that suit and not the spirit. And so my focus has been, and I'll be interesting to hear your part on this. My focus has been to talk to my spirit as my best friend. And then it's kind of a mind warp for me because it's like, but you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
I really, I really want to be your best friend. Well, I really do want to be my best friend.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to save it. I'm trying to turn my words into, I really want to be my best friend.
That's
I really
perfect.
want you to know. I really want me to know how much I love me.
Yeah.
And I really want to know me intimately, just like you would with a best friend.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I want to go as well is, who am I and how do you get to know your best friend other than to spend time with them,
Yeah.
talk to them, what makes them happy, what makes them sad, what grieves them,
What
that
triggers them? Yeah.
well, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's what I think. I was you mentioned the Bible, and I've like even though I'm not religious, like I've always loved the teachings of Jesus, and so maybe we would do a whole episode on different quotes and things like that, or things that he said
That'd
and
be
or how
awesome.
they yeah, but. It's really interesting about this is something that I came up with, and I've never heard anybody else say it, but everybody I share it with is like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I even heard on a CLS show, somebody asked Ron about Holy Spirit. He's like, what does that mean? And he's like, have no idea. And I, because even sometimes they say Holy Ghost, so that's like entity and all this stuff. But what I think, what I attribute Holy Spirit is being 100% spirit in your body. So whole as in WHOLE, holy, whole in yourself. That's the only way you can be Holy Spirit. It's not Holy Ghost outside of you. It's not some force outside of you. You want to be Holy Spirit yourself. You want to be as get all of your spirit back into your body. That's the only way that I would ever look at that word, the way words are deceiving. So you want to be holy, holy your own spirit.
It's so good, really good, because that's how they get everybody off track is that, the Holy Spirit, is here still on earth. Like there was the three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the Father and Son went back to heaven, but the Holy Ghost is still here, or the Holy Spirit. And so you're here to be your comforter, your teacher, your guider. Well, what is source in you? Your comforter, your teacher, your best friend, your confidant.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really good. So it's been changed to HOLY to get your focus off of, if it was spelled WHOLLY, they'd be like, oh,
Yeah.
what does that mean? So
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
total word scramble on that one. Really good insight. I love that.
Yeah, and so
We
it's
should do a show, Matt. That'd be fun.
what's that?
We should do a whole show on Jesus quotes and teachings. That'd be amazing, and then just bring them into reality. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, because it's like I've always resonated with what he was teaching, and I don't know, have you ever read the Anastasia books?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Not all of them. Not all of them, but some of them. Yeah.
Well, in there it talks a really interesting perspective, and I've heard this before, and I'm not sure where, but I remember specifically in that book, but why he was born Jewish, and it had an interesting spin on that. And since I guess all timelines are real somewhere, all timelines are real, so this one could easily exist. But he was born to the Jewish faith to teach the brotherhood of men, because Moses, who apparently was not a good guy, he was a priest, so he brought the people and kind of led them around in circles for 40 years, but basically brainwashed them into thinking they were the chosen ones of the only one living God, so they were above others. And so he brainwashed them for 40 years and created an entire race of people that thought that. And so Jesus was born into that religion to teach that we're all equal, the brotherhood of man, you know, and all that stuff. So I thought that was really interesting because I'd never heard that perspective before, only once. And then when it touched on it again, I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me, because if you have somebody like, you know, why was he born to in that specific or region or, you know, group of people or whatever you want to call it. And so I found that very fascinating.
Interesting. I never heard that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've done some other studying and different books, you know, that have, you know, the Book of Mary and stuff like that. We won't get into it because that's kind of getting into the mind energy of stuff. But it's interesting to see how they've totally taken things and just completely, right before our eyes, you know, changed it just with words and made it to where the focus was totally taken from going within to going to another source outside of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why
Yeah, go ahead.
even all the books, like, it doesn't matter. Books can be doctored. And I was reading this Zen thing about the master and the student, and the student was ready to graduate to the master, and the master took this book with like 2,000 years of teachings, and it had been like on a shrine in the monastery or whatever, you know, the temple or whatever. And so he gave it to the student, and the student took the book and threw it on the ground, and he was like, "What are you doing?" And the master's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, what are you doing?" And so it was kind of a test for him to see that he didn't need the book. And so apparently the book was empty anyways. And so it's that we shouldn't rely on any false idols or fixed conceptions of enlightenment. And that's why Buddha said, if you ever see the Buddha on the path, kill him or strike me down or cut off his head, because no master comes back in the same identity, because they knew about mind control, they knew about cloning, they knew about creating false idols. That's why Jesus didn't come back, because he wouldn't be accepted, or he'd be over, like, it would just it, it's not, you know, that's the whole thing, is do not worship false idols. And that's what the church did, was create an idol out of Jesus, and that was exactly what he came to speak against. And so it's like they just totally what's the word, like, did a 180 on what his teachings were, you know.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I agree. I wanted to I wanted to share something, and I'm going to go ahead and go into it. Two things. We're kind of deviating from what we're talking about a little bit, but
That's okay.
thanks. Do you remember how we've just been encouraged that, you know, the trees are alive, and the trees, whenever they're cut down, they're heard, and you can, you know, they do scream and they do heard, and to the natural mind, you know, before you're really into this, you're like, what? The tree scream? I don't get it. I was driving to work the other day, and because I've never heard one like actually scream. But I was driving to work the other day, and I was at a stop sign, and this gentleman in this pickup pulled out into the street across from me, like, you know, across from me, and then put his truck into reverse and floored it back up, jumped a curb stop, and jumped into this beautiful landscaped area of this business, and literally mowed down this beautiful or ornamental tree, and then put it in drive and pulled out of there, and didn't even stop to go in and say I'm sorry, like, you know, I hit the wrong pedal or anything. Drove through the stop sign that I was at and pulled off the road to go and look at the damage he did to his truck, which he did a lot of damage. Got back in his truck and drove off, and I'm like, I was on my way to work, and I turned around and followed him, right? You know, got his license plate. I'm not going to give all the details, but anyway, I let the people know what had happened, and I said it just looked like it was possibly an older person that thought they were on the brake, but they were on the gas, and it wasn't. It was somebody that was actually wanting to do damage to that landscape bed, and the tree took a hit hard. And they said that it was someone that they knew who it was,
Oh, okay.
and so I reached out, and it was horrific to watch. It really was. It was horrifying. And I'm like, and I can still see the tree, just the shock and the shaking and the jolt, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I let the lady know. I said, if you guys decide to you know, replace the tree, please let me know. I would be happy to nurture it and to nurture it back to health. And I felt kind of silly because I thought, well, that sounds kind of weird, but whatever. But I drive by it every day to work, right? I drive by and I'm like, you're okay, you know, you're okay, you're going to be safe. And I would just tell it, you're going to come home with me. You're going to come home with me. I got an email yesterday from the lady that has one of the businesses in that building, and she said the owners have decided to not keep the tree, and you're welcome to come get it, and you don't need to let us know. Just come and get it. Well, of course, the neighbors are probably going to wonder who the crazy people are out there digging up their tree, right? She told me that, you know, it had knocked the whole root ball out, which it had mostly, but it's still in there. So after my show today, we Whiplash Talk people are rescuing a tree. So we're going to go rescue the tree, and I'm going to bring it home. I went to a nursery yesterday, and they donated a really big, you know, those black plastic pots that you get at a nursery. They donated one of those, and I bought some soil, and I had to go to and they loaned me some pruners because I left everything. I left my Selcos. I left everything in Oklahoma. Had to go to Habitat for Humanity to get a shovel. And so after the show today, I'm going to go rescue a tree, and I'm going to nurture it back to health, and we're going to love it, and we're all going to send out positive vibes for it, and so we're rescuing a tree today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
I don't know if I told you on the show, but that's kind of similar to what I did last year. Instead of a Christmas tree, I bought like a small dwarf cedar and planted it after. Yeah, so that's
And
my
what's
new
his name?
tradition.
His name
What's that?
Herbert. What's his name?
Hermie.
You named it.
Hermie.
Hermie. Yes.
Yeah, Hermie.
Yes.
And so where I live in Canada, we have a store called Canadian Tire, and it's like a big hardware, and you know, like they've got it's kind of like a home improvement store. They've got pretty much everything aside from groceries,
Right.
but they have all kinds of Christmas decorations and everything in every year. And so like they were $20 for these little dwarf cedars. And I was like, you know. And then I went over the last, I think it was Christmas Eve, and there was like three of them kind of left behind. And I was like, oh, this guy's on the
Oh.
ground by himself, and they were on sale for $5. And I was like, well,
Oh.
I have to get this one. And so I just bought it for $5
Right.
and then planted it at a
Right.
friend's house in the spring.
And it's doing great.
I hope so. I haven't
Yeah.
checked in on it because it's kind of like
Yeah.
it's with its friends, with these really beautiful weeping willows and really tall cedars and some pine trees. It's
Oh,
by a creek, so
beautiful. Yeah. I'm sure it's doing great.
Yeah, so that's
Yeah, I'm gonna have to
my
come
new
up.
tradition is to buy a tree and plant it every year rather than cut them down.
Smart. Yeah, I have an artificial one, so I am. But I actually have a Christmas tree. Look at that. It's a holiday tree that I'm picking up today. So I don't know what I'm gonna call. We're gonna have to come up with a name for my tree. But I
You
wanted
know
to
what?
talk about
You have to
as
ask the
we.
tree. You have to ask the tree. That's what I did. I
Yeah.
asked the tree. I was like, it's like I command my spirit to let me know the name of the tree, or I asked my spirit to ask the spirit what the tree was. I don't know where Hermie came from, but that's what it was.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really good that you brought that out, because when I went by, I would go by and talk to it, and I'm like, I asked it, do you want to come home with me? And did you leave your tree? Are you in another plant around here, and do you want to get back in your tree, or do you want to stay in another one? That's fine. But I went and kind of looked at it and scoped out everything yesterday, and I said, I'm coming back for you tomorrow. So, if you want to be in your original tree, jump back in and I'll take care of you. So anyway, I wanted to talk about, seeing as how it's the holidays and it's just such a beautiful story, and Lauren and Zosia talked about it this morning as well, but on For the People That Space, there's on December 23rd of 23, there's a posting about Saint Nicholas. And Q actually told the story to Asha, if you remember that. And he was a sweet young man. And you're going to tell me how many minutes we have whenever we get close, because I can't see since I'm remoting him.
I've got a timer set
And
to give you a 10-minute warning, so you got 3 minutes for the 10-minute warning.
that's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a
So,
good
Saint
co-host,
Nicholas,
right? I'm a good co-host.
you're awesome. Yeah, you should be the host. I'll be the co. But I'm kidding.
Take off
So,
some of the pressure for a while.
right? So now you're host. So Saint Nicholas was a young man, and he was such a giver even in his young age. And And I'm remembering it more from, I didn't go look it for the people.space post. So I'm just remembering it from when I heard it live with Asha and Q. And he was a sweet, sweet, giving, always looking out for others, young man. He would share his wealth with others. And it was in this little village, and there was this little girl that he was sweet on, and he really liked her. And if I'm not mistaken, I think she was the youngest, or but she was one of several children. I'll leave it at that. And if I remember correctly, the family didn't have enough money to keep her, and they were making arrangements to, sell her to another family so they could have means to support their family. And I may be totally jacking up this story because I don't have it all with me, but the bottom line is she was not going to be in that village anymore, that she was going to be going to another family because the current family couldn't take care of her.
Yeah.
And there was a
That's
tradition in
sad.
how the stockings, it is so sad, but it happens. It happens still currently to this day in
I know.
different countries, different communities.
Yeah.
And this is where putting the stockings on the fireplace, on the mantle, really kind of came to play and focus with me, because back then they'd have one pair of socks, and
Yeah.
they'd hang them all on the mantle so they would dry out. When they were cold, cold feet, they'd dry out and they'd get warm. And then in the mornings, they put on their warm socks and off they'd go, warm, dry
Yeah.
socks. Well, Saint Nicholas didn't want her to move away because he was sweet on her, and so he snuck in and put some of his coins in her stockings, only her
Oh,
stockings.
man.
And so when she woke up in the morning, there were the funds to be able to keep her with the family, and he could still see his little sweetie. So it was confirmed later, I believe on. It was confirmed later that that actually was Q and Ra. Those were expressions of Q and Ra. And so I just really wanted to encourage everybody, at this time to really, how do I want to word this? Let me look at my notes. Sorry, I'm probably making noise. It's really not about the season. Like, remember how you said earlier in the show about how everybody gets stressed and all the drama that goes on with all the family and all the dynamics and everything else. And so I just wanted to tell everybody, and we're not going to end the show right now. We'll end it soon, but I just wanted to say, so if you focus on hearing my heart and hearing my harmonics, just may your stockings always be filled with true, pure source love and provision.
That's wonderful. Our
That's
spirit is the
really
real
what I want
gold, right?
everybody to focus on. Yeah, exactly. Our spirit is the real gold. And so go within. Let go within be the inside of your stocking. And may that always be filled with true, pure source love and provision. And may your source always, always, always be your first love.
Yeah,
That's kind of what I wanted to focus on today. Yeah.
that's wonderful, and it's so true. And I really like that that you spoke about that today, about becoming your best friend. Your spirit is your best friend. It's the only lifeline you have here or to get out of here. It's all we ever have, and so there's no more important work that you can do in this lifetime or the next, is get your spirit back into your body as much as you can. And it's not easy, like you mentioned. It's constant work, and I've been doing really understanding it. I mean, it's been a lifelong process, I guess, but to really understand the meat and potatoes of it has been 2 years, and it's been so much up and down. And a lot of it has to do with letting go, because a lot of the things that we possess in our life take us out of peace.
That goes back to me leaving Oklahoma. It was painful, some of the stuff I left behind. And literally, I had to just look at the person and say, burn it.
Yeah.
There were things that were, I mean, family pictures, family photos, burn them. I
Yeah,
don't
you
want
know
them
what?
in some secondhand. I don't want them in some secondhand store. Just burn them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way that it actually gets rid of the energy on it. So, but was that the story you wanted to tell? Because we only go till two, or sorry, yeah, to 55. So we've got 4 minutes left.
Yeah, that was the story. I just
Oh,
wanted
okay.
everybody to just really focus on their stocking. So go ahead, you do your thing. Hit
No,
it.
that was just, I just wanted to make sure that I was letting you know, keeping track of time, and Mr. T said we're only
Thank
going to
you.
55, so I just wanted to make sure, in case that wasn't it, that you got fit in all that you wanted to speak about. But I think it is absolutely perfect and absolutely wonderful, and that's the thing, is about letting go. Is somebody mentioned recently, it's like you can't have your arms open to receive what you're, what's coming to you now, if you're clenching so tightly to the past. You know,
Yep.
so drop it, so that
Yep.
way you can receive what is in front of you, and that's the only thing that's real, is what's on your plate. The light only works in the now, literally means that wherever you're looking, your field of
Yeah.
vision, that's your light. Wherever you shine your light,
Yeah.
that's the only point of power that you have ever, is in this right, in this moment right now, right? So drop the
Really
past,
good, Rob.
drop the
Really
past.
good.
Yeah,
Drop the
and open up
past.
your arms and hug, be open to receive whatever is, and that's the thing I said on my show a couple weeks ago, like when we're so stuck in the past, it's like, looking at an old picture of your girlfriend on your phone and like wondering, like, oh, we broke up, and like this beautiful girl walks by smiling at you, but you're so stuck in the past, you don't even see it. You're not in the present moment. You're looking at
Right.
some, some old photo.
That's very, very good picture. Looks like we have about a minute, huh? You always have a party. You always have a parting quote or a parting thought. What do you have? We're going into the holidays with lots of potential heightened stuff. What do you got?
What do I have for today? So I guess
For
with the
today, for
holidays,
now.
yeah, from the holidays, shift from seeking to fit in and external validation to internal peace. So maybe you don't go to the holiday party. Last night I said the yearly thing, I had to just, we usually get together with the boys, and I had some stuff, and I was in conflict with it about for like 2 days about not going, and
Yeah.
I had to stay home and just do other things, and I was comfortable with
Yeah.
that decision, and but it caused
That's
conflict
really
for like 2 days
good.
internally.
Yeah, really good. Same. People were like, what are you doing for the holidays? I'm like, I'm taking my camera, and on Christmas Day, I am learning the island that I live on. That's what I'm doing for myself.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm going to look at it through. You remember how Q would say he would look through our eyes, how he would view stuff through our eyes? I'm going to go look at that like Q's looking through that lens. Like, I'm going to go view it through his eyes. What do you see? Show me what you see. That's
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
exactly. Exactly. It's all.
Beautiful, beautiful holiday.
Yeah. Oh, is it? This is the last show before the holiday, right?
It is. It is.
Yeah, I didn't even
Yep.
realize that. Well, I guess we'll say happy holidays and Merry Christmas and Hanukkah and whatever. It doesn't matter what kind of holidays you celebrate. Thank you, everybody out there listening to us. And I guess there's still going to be another show in December. It's not going to be in the new year, right? So.
Yeah, we've got one more show in December. Yep.
Oh,
Yeah.
you're inviting me back on?
Yeah, come on. Bring it back.
Yay! Yay! I love doing this show. It's honestly, it's my favorite part of the week. And what's cool is I love that we don't really like, I like the showing up and like things. I have lists and lists of stuff I want to talk about, but I like
Me
just seeing
too.
what happens in the moment. And so we've got the 1 minute
Me too.
warning. So I just want to say thank you to
Uh-oh.
BBS, and thank you to everybody out there
Yes.
listening. And thank you to you,
Yes.
Sunshine. And I really appreciate it,
Absolutely.
and it's really fun. And maybe next week we could take some calls.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be great. I love everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for my supporters and for my listeners and BBS Radio. I love you so much. Thank you for making this such a beautiful, beautiful part of my life. Have a beautiful day, everyone. Love you. Bye.
Bye.